Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host this evening, and as you know from the theme song, we talk about different types of businesses within the Lehigh Valley. And tonight is no different because we've got one that's marking its 30th anniversary, and that is Discover Lehigh Valley. They have been building the Lehigh Valley into a bustling, and I mean bustling, leisure and business travel destination while boosting the local economy as an official destination marketing organization. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means as far as economic impact, but I think you'll be surprised as you hear from our guest in the studio tonight, Mike Sturczyk, who's the president of Discover Lehigh Valley, just the ways, the sort of the tentacles that tourism has here within the Lehigh Valley. So I want to say welcome, Mike.
It's good to be here, Sally.
It's good to have you with me. I hear you every once in a while on WDIY, but now I have you in the studio with me, so I'm glad you could be here tonight. Why don't you share for our listeners a little bit, Mike, about your background rather than have me, you know, read it from a piece of paper?
Well, I was born in Baltimore and came to Lehigh University and never really left.
Yay, we got one!
I met my wife here. I was in the last all-male entering class. She was in the first class of women, and she was not from here either. So we both, you got a twofer. But I've been in the community development marketing area for my entire career, and that's a long time at this point.
Nah.
I've really been focused on in the last 20 years or so on working with organizations on their exterior and external performance.
Okay.
And this has really been a huge benefit to me to have the excitement of what's going on around Lehigh Valley and seeing everything that's happening and being able to promote it as well. It's been a great ride.
Oh, yeah. And now you've been involved with the tourism here various times in your career, but even when you came back, and we'll get into the timing of it, but back in 2004, it was hard to see that by 2014 that mm-hmm. this area would be what it's happening today. But it is so exciting. And let's talk a little bit in general terms about tourism and hospitality, and then we'll sort of bring it into the Lehigh Valley and talk mm-hmm. about challenges and where it's going. But I do have one burning question. Before the show, you were telling me that you were interested in becoming a chemist.
I was a chemistry major.
You were a chemistry major. How did that become economic development?
I switched at the end of my freshman year. I said, I like people too much. I didn't want to play in the lab all the time. So I became a social psychology major. And as I tell my former professors and the current professors at Lehigh, I use my major every day of my career. So
I guess
it's
you
been
would.
Very beneficial.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, that burning question got answered. Thank you. The hospitality industry itself covers a lot of territory. There's the service industry, there's lodging and event planning and food and beverage, theme parks, transportation, cruise lines, etc. What are the primary target markets for Discover Lehigh Valley of all this larger picture?
We have four target markets that we go after, and they really encompass all of those things that you mentioned in terms wow. of industry segments. But when you break it down into who you're trying to reach, it's very simple. Our primary market and the one that we spend the most on promoting is the leisure travel market. And that's folks like you and me getting in a car and traveling somewhere. And well over 98% of our visitors, leisure visitors, come by car.
And do they come from a certain distance, Mike?
Generally, it's a half a day or less drive.
Okay.
And we like to think of ourselves being reasonably recession-proof and gas price-proof.
Okay.
Primarily because we live within 100 miles of 31 million people.
And you haven't touched them all yet, huh?
And because of that, we haven't gotten them all here yet.
Okay.
And because of that, we have the opportunity to get them here on less than a full tank to make the round trip, which is what people will invest to go for a weekend. So that positions us very well. So leisure where we spend most of our market. The meetings and conventions market is another market. And we are somewhat hamstrung by the lack of larger facilities to bring in large conventions, but we can bring in smaller ones in the 200 to 300 delegate range. And that's something that we work with our hotel partners on. Okay, primarily.
Now, will that be changing because of the arena and the plans that the Sands have? Are we going to be expanding that capability?
Yes, it will, and that'll change our priorities quite a bit as well. We'll probably focus a little bit more on meetings, conventions than we have in the past.
Okay, interesting.
And then the third group is group tour, group travel, and that's something that no one knows what's going to happen with that market in the long run. Many of you may recall the many motor coaches that were in downtown Bethlehem at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. I remember them, streams of them.
And you don't see that to the same extent. The reason for that is that was always an older-oriented market by age. And those folks just got older and they're traveling less. And baby boomers are that age now. They're not getting on motor coaches to the extent, at least domestically, to the extent that they did in the past. So that's a challenging market, and we're looking at focusing that on folks who travel together because they're in an affinity group. Maybe it's a church group or a social organization that might travel together.
Or a group of friends. I know I have several friends who, there's maybe five couples that travel all over.
And they'll organize a group of maybe 15, 20, 30 people that will go somewhere together.
Do we get much group interest from abroad for the Lehigh Valley?
At the moment, no. Okay. We're working on that. We've actually been working with a regional woman who has put together some itineraries that she's going to be promoting overseas for us. And we hope that will help generate some interest in international travel here.
Oh, that's exciting. I didn't even know that.
And then the fourth market that and it's been one of our growing markets, is sports, bringing sports events into Lehigh Valley, whether that be lacrosse tournaments, soccer tournaments, wrestling, basketball, you name it. We've been ultimate frisbee, badminton, you name it. We're going after it.
That's interesting. I wasn't that aware of that. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's because are these adults or are these youth?
Both. It's youth and adults. Just to give you a couple of highlights, in 2005, and this is a couple of years old, we hosted the Professional World Disc Golf Championships.
In 2005?
Yeah, I didn't know that there was professional disc golf.
I didn't either.
I didn't know that they were professionals. I didn't know it was a worldwide thing. We had 337 players from 43 countries, I think it was, that played. The championship course was on Lehigh Parkway. So really generated an enthusiastic following and really brought a lot of people in. But this past summer, we just hosted the National Off-Road Cycling Championships at Bear Creek, and also hosted the year before we had hosted a track cycling event at the Velodrome. So we have some facilities that can attract some pretty unique events.
Yeah, I guess. And we're relatively easy to find and get to from most places.
Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and in June we hit the mother load with lacrosse events, and we have one event in the middle of June that draws about 300 lacrosse teams for the weekend, and it's boys lacrosse teams. So when you do the math, that's about 20 kids and adults per team. So that's over 6,000 people that are here for the weekend playing lacrosse, and they use Lehigh's playing fields for that.
Now, I was a lacrosse player. I didn't have any idea that occurred.
Interesting. It's really a fun event.
Do we do it every year?
We've done it. We've done it for the last 7 years. So, we know they're coming back next year.
Okay, so that's June. I have to make note of that. Yeah. I'm going to go down to Lehigh's field and see that. Of course, men's and women's lacrosse are two different animals.
Yes, they are.
That's all right. Okay. The target areas, you've given us the four, you've given us a little bit about where we're heading in the future. What are some of the challenges you see with being able to go in the direction? I mean, obviously, we need the facilities for the meeting planners and stuff, but what else is a challenge?
There are a couple of challenges, and they're not unique to Lehigh Valley. Okay. At least one of them is. And the biggest challenge that we all face is that local people don't recognize their local community as a destination for visitors. And that really affects us when it comes to organizations that are associations that rely on the local chapters to host statewide meetings. We often need to do a harder sales job on the local chapter to convince them that we're capable of hosting their statewide meeting here it's really not a challenge to convince their meeting planners in Harrisburg that it's important, mm-hmm. but it's very difficult to convince the local chapters that we can do it.
And is that, going on your college background, is that basically because it's familiar to us and we don't think it's anything special? Is that predominantly?
That's a big part of it. You talk to people who are going past world-class art museums on a daily basis, and for them it's background. They don't see it as being of any significance to them.
They don't have fresh eyes. They don't have tourism
eyes. You need
to
look at it with fresh eyes. And many people in our industry promote areas that they did not grow up in and they did not have that experience as a youth going through that community.
Well, I know I've had several businesses on the show that were sort of new to the Lehigh Valley, and we got a chance to look at the valley a little bit through their eyes, which is, again, very different than what you'd get from somebody who was raised here and mm-hmm. has never really left.
It's different. They see it totally differently, and they don't see the dings and scratches that we see. They see it with a lot more positively than we look at it.
Yeah. And so how do we go, Mike, how do we address that? What do we do?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but one of the things that seems to be most effective is just let people know that there's people who are coming to see them. You know, we have 15.2 million visitors a year coming to Lehigh Valley, all told.
And
about 10.6 million of those are day trips, and about 4.6 million of those are some part of an overnight trip into Pennsylvania. So that's a lot of people that are coming here. And the number one reason that people travel worldwide is to visit friends and relatives.
Okay, so
that's the number one reason.
So if you have somebody visiting, can we get a planner to help them figure
sure.
out places to go and
yeah.
what to do? And
DiscoverLehighValley.com is the best place to do that.
Okay. And quite honestly, I don't know about you, Mike, and now we've been around the area for a long time, but I'm almost getting overwhelmed when I go through some of the mm-hmm. event calendars anymore of everything that's going on in the valley.
10 years ago, in 2004, when I started again, mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges we had was consistent evening entertainment. We don't have that problem today.
I guess not.
We have too many things to do on any one given evening, not too few.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, good problem to have.
Well, but then there's also sort of the trying to get on a calendar and get on first because there's five events on the mm-hmm. same day type of thing that's going on as well.
Right, and weekends are getting packed. My staff and I get out on a regular basis to things going on. And this summer was probably one of the most busy we've ever had in our history. And we've been around for 30 years, so it's really kind of fascinating to see.
Okay, let's tell our listeners that website again and the calendar aspect.
The website is discoverlehighvalley.com. And for those people who have events that they want to have on our website, it's uploadyourevent.com.
Okay, so you can get on that. And that's a pretty, I hear the radio stations say go to discoverlehighvalley.com's calendar. So mm-hmm. you're pretty universal as far as
yes.
the
and
location.
Anybody can post, put their events on our calendar of events. It's uploadyourevent.com.
Okay, great. And we'll repeat that again, listeners, so that you have it, but keep that in mind. Let's talk a little bit about, Mike, the economic impact. You mentioned 15.2 mm-hmm. million and 10.6 day visitors. According to Statista, the travel and tourism sector has developed into an industry with an annual economic impact, direct, indirect, and induced, of around $6.5 trillion U.S. dollars. Now, that's worldwide. In 2012, the number of international tourist arrivals in the U.S. exceeded the 1 billion mark for the first time, and that was about an increase of almost 50% compared to the prior 10 years. International travelers today seem to come from China, Germany, and the United States, and they're also the biggest spenders. So the primary impacts that travel and tourism have in let's talk Pennsylvania first. As far economic impact, what does tourism do for Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania tourism generates about $38 billion okay. in visitor spending. We employ about 440,000 people in our industry in Pennsylvania. And that's pretty significant when you think about it. I don't have the tax dollar number mm-hmm. off the top of my head, but it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars billions of dollars that it generates in terms okay. of tax revenue for
the state.
That's one of the challenges that we face because the state is losing market share. The state is not marketing itself as it needs to, and we can come back to that.
Yeah.
But and the federal government, the U.S. never wasn't marketing itself until recently. So the numbers that you cite are at the beginning stages of the new marketing effort that U.S. travel has been undertaken internationally to increase the number of foreign arrivals.
Now, when you say visitor spend or visitor spending, let's dissect it. What does that mean? What are the aspects of that spending?
Visitor spending consists of the dollars that you spend getting to a location, the dollars that you spend once you get there, whether you spend it in shopping, food and beverage, a hotel, and recreation. So there are all those components go into the visitor spending. And in Lehigh Valley, in 2012, visitors spent $1.9 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars. And about 25% of that was spent on recreation. And our region has the largest percentage of spending on recreation in the Commonwealth.
Isn't that interesting?
We attribute that to the many things that have happened over the last few years, especially in growing that. You look at ArtsQuest, you look at Sands, the casino, you look at the expansions that Dorney Park has done. You just look at all the things that have been going on
Zoo,
around us.
We've got them from all over.
It's been really beneficial to increasing that percentage. It also helps that we're close by to our markets, so the amount spent on transportation is one of the lowest percentages in the Commonwealth of all the tourism regions.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a question that we haven't discussed, but does the fact that we really don't have a strong mass transportation system, like we don't have trains and stuff like New York or Philly, does that hurt us?
It does not.
Does not. Okay.
It does not. The people who travel like the flexibility of getting to a location and be able to go where they want when they get there.
Okay, so it's the car.
So it hasn't hurt us because of our location.
Okay, interesting. All right. And let's see. We talked about Pennsylvania. We talked about Lehigh Valley. Listeners, we're going to talk about, when we come back, we're going to take a short break in a few seconds, but we're going to talk about how Pennsylvania compares to others. Mike sort of gave you a little bit of a hint that we're not among the top as far as Pennsylvania and tourism. But I think it's important for you to realize what's going on and the impact. And because tourism does, he mentioned, the restaurants and food. Don't think about just the restaurant that's having impact. It could be the organic food source that the restaurant is buying to be able to fill those. So it goes all the way back to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It has long tentacles. So stay tuned. You're listening to Sally Hanlon on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture. From its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Taking care of business.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And joining me in the studio tonight is Mike Sturczyk, who is president of Discover Lehigh Valley. And in case you missed the opening, Discover Lehigh Valley is having a 30th anniversary this year. And we'll talk a little bit about that and the changes over the past 30 years that Mike has seen. But before we took our brief break, we were talking about the impact of tourism. We were talking about the Lehigh Valley. We're talking about Pennsylvania. And Mike had mentioned that just in the Lehigh Valley, $1.9 billion, correct, Mike?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Came in through tourism last year. And that equates to 22,500 jobs, is that?
Approximately, yes.
Yeah, in the Lehigh Valley. Think about that. That's tremendous impact for all those folks. However, the disappointing part is that Pennsylvania overall is losing its edge in the tourism industry. Mike, why don't you share some of the information that you have? Yeah.
Pennsylvania is losing market shares. In the last 5 years, four years, Pennsylvania has gone from being one of the top 10 states in promoting tourism to being one of the bottom five in promoting tourism. We went from a budget of in the $30 million range for marketing Pennsylvania to tourists to being around this year $2.5 million. So we've really dropped what we're able to spend on promoting tourism at the statewide level. And that does have an impact on us because it created incentives for us to all market with the same brand. And you use the umbrella of the state to tag on our marketing efforts. So now we're all on our own, and it's a lot more challenging because we have our own fiscal challenges to deal with.
And there's not a unified voice.
A unified voice is the one that's most critical.
Right.
And I'll give you a couple of examples that why we're losing market share. We were the fourth most visited state. When this downtrend started, the first year we went down to the sixth most visited state, next year down to the seventh most visited state. I'm going to guess that when we get the next years of statistics, we'll probably be the eighth or ninth most visited state if we're in the top 10. One other piece of numerical news is that nationally, hotel revenues increased 6.2%. In Pennsylvania, they increased 1.6%.
That's a big difference.
So that's a huge difference when it means we're not getting our share.
Okay. Now, does that revenue mean both tourism and business travel, or is
that's
that just
both.
That's both tourism and business? So
yes.
We might be getting it on both sides.
We are.
With that. Now, I notice on some of the local channels on TV, I'm seeing ads for California. I'm seeing ads for Michigan. Now, Michigan, that state has had tremendous economic impacts, and
yes.
Yet I'm seeing them on my screen.
You're seeing more than those, too. Pennsylvania, remember, this year Pennsylvania will be spending $2.5 million.
Okay.
Michigan is spending $30 million. New York State is spending $60 million. California is spending $44 million. Texas is spending $40 million.
I did see Texas because there was a brisket.
And what makes it even more interesting is that locally there was a connection there. Texas had a tourism booth at Music Fest the past two summers. And I doubt that Pennsylvania could have afforded to do that for that period of time when you think that they're there for that number of people there for 10 days. So that's a huge investment that they're making in this market.
And do you think Texas is doing that because of the music connection?
Texas is doing it because they see it's worth the investment. If they didn't see it paying off, they wouldn't be doing it. It's a music connection, but it's also the connection that they think they can make with our local people and get them to go to Texas.
Interesting. I had the opportunity to get to Texas for business this past year, and it was a very different state. Beautiful in some respects, but very different than mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. So interesting. Okay. Now, you had mentioned that everyone's sort of doing their own thing as far as the local tourism organizations. And one of the things that I think New York has done so nicely is they've maintained the same brand for years. Now, we don't seem to have one. Is that correct?
There are at one time 1984, there were three well-known tourism brands in the country. I Love New York was always number one. Virginia Is for Lovers was always up there. And the third was You've Got a Friend in Pennsylvania. Those were the top three. The top two are still there and promoting that way. I Love New York and Virginia's for Lovers are still being used by those states.
Isn't that interesting?
Pennsylvania, every governor that came into office changed the brand because they didn't like the previous, they didn't want to have anything to do with the previous governor's work. So unfortunately, politics got in the way of good marketing.
So are the other states, is their tourism run differently within the state organization than ours, that the governor would have an impact in Pennsylvania and it wouldn't have it in New York, or?
Not really in those two cases. There it is in other states, but in those two cases, they found that it was of such value to have that strong a brand that they felt it was important to keep.
Interesting. So maybe they're more marketing savvy than some others that we've had here in Pennsylvania. Okay, so we talked about 85 and top three, and you've been involved in tourism since 1985, and then you took a break, and then you came back in 2004. What have you seen as far as trends changing over that time period, whether it's leisure, whether it's business? What have you observed?
Two things have changed substantially. One is the mix of travel in Lehigh Valley. It used to be far more business than leisure travel into Lehigh Valley, and it's now probably flipped, not necessarily 100% exactly reversed, but it used to be more 60-40 business to leisure. Now I think it's probably closer to 55-45. You'd be hard-pressed to find rooms here some weekends, especially in the summer. Which was never the case at that time. We were all scrambling to get business in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now we don't have that as big an issue.
But we have weekday problems.
Now we have weekday issues, which we didn't have then because we had more business travelers.
Okay. And you think that's like because of Mack Trucks, Bethlehem Steel, the change in headquarters areas?
It's because more business is being done electronically, which is the other big business trend.
Okay.
You don't need to go to travel to see your customers. You can do it over the phone. You can see them on your iPad.
That's true.
You can see them on your computer at your desk without having to go to visit them face to face. So that's been a huge change.
Okay.
And that's also been the probably the largest single change that has happened in marketing, is that electronic marketing is the way to go. Very few marketers are using print in this industry today for advertising it.
Yeah, and that's that shows up in various things like our periodicals, our newspapers, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff is being affected. Tourism, although the money is down, still is very proactive as far as bringing dollars to Lehigh and Northampton County through the hotel tax and things like that. How does that come about, Mike? I mean, you're sort of the focal point, and then there's opportunities within the counties, and the counties handle things differently as far as how they might disperse the hotel tax portion.
We have a 4% county hotel tax, basically the counties keep 1.25% of that 4%. That is, in the case of Lehigh County, a significant portion of that is used for the financing of Coca-Cola Park.
Oh, okay.
And they have a smaller amount of that, probably about $100, $150,000 a year, depending on the year, that they use for tourism grants for new and capital expenditures for grants for nonprofit organizations within the county.
Okay, what would a tourism grant be?
They've funded things like helping to bring the AAA National Championship game to Lehigh Valley.
Because a lot of the sporting stuff might be part of that.
New events at George Taylor House as another example for the borough of Catasauqua. It could be a new event. It could be an expansion of an existing event that is happening. In Northampton County, they have a grant program that they use for part of that, and then they're using another part of that to help fund some of the SteelStax campus and PBS 39 project in on the sand site.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, as you were mentioning the George Taylor House, I was thinking, you know, I've never been there. You know, I've passed, I don't know how many times, driving through Catasauqua. And just this last year, now, I worked at 7th and Hamilton when it was, you know, Meridian. And I worked across from, I shouldn't say lived, but it felt like that, from the Liberty Bell Shrine that was across the street. Mm-hmm. Do you know that it took until this year that I finally got into the Liberty Bell Shrine? I'm sort of one of those locals that hasn't visited enough. I almost need like a checklist to say, have you been here? Or make that my Lehigh Valley bucket list.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can always use our visitor guide as a bucket list.
Oh, man. Now, you mentioned nonprofits. Now, I don't know that you're going to know all the details, but if a nonprofit is interested in finding out how they might have access to some of the dollars, how does that happen?
The Frank Kane operates the program in Lehigh County in the Department of Community and Economic Development, and Lori Siewenski operates it in Northampton County under the Department of Community and Economic Development.
And is the budget year, when does the hotel tax dollar number come out that people are aware of what they have and what they can do with it?
It's done based as part of the budget process generally.
Okay.
So the this summer, the grant applications were reviewed for calendar year 2015.
So somebody listening tonight who might have a thought would have to wait till like this coming summer for 2016. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you got that, listeners, nonprofits that are out there. There's an opportunity that you may want to take a look at. Now, here's the age-old thing. We talk about branding. The Lehigh Valley has been branded as the Lehigh Valley probably since the 80s, when we had a few organizations start to come together with Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, AB. I think the Tourism Bureau was one of those. The Visitors and Convention and the United Way has started to do.
Actually, United Way was in the 90s.
Oh, was it? I thought it was earlier.
It was I was the chairman of the strategic planning committee for United Way, and when I left that role in 1991, they still had been two separate United Ways.
Wow, I'm getting too old. My memory is getting foggy.
So
here.
We were one of the first regional economic development organization. We were formed a little bit earlier. Well, that merger took place before the Lehigh Valley Partnership was formed.
Okay, so let's talk about the history. Where did tourism evolve from?
Before 1984, there was a Northampton County Tourism Council and an Allentown Lehigh County Tourist and Convention Bureau. And they operated separately. One was operated as part of the chamber in Allentown. Northampton County Tourism Council operated separately. The private sector was got together in the, I'd say, 1982, 1983, and said, we need to start bringing this together because we're not getting anywhere in terms of our marketing, because we're contributing to both Lehigh and Northampton County, and it doesn't make sense for them to be marketing separately. So I was actually working for the county at that time in economic development, and ended up co-chairing a task force with Mike Kreiza, who was then working for Hal Fulmer at the Hotel Trailer and Lehigh Valley Magazine and some other ventures. And we co-chaired that and were able to bring the merger about. The final merger took place in July of 1984. Which is why we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. The joint operations started shortly thereafter, but the first actual year in which the then Lehigh Valley Convention and Visitors Bureau took operation was January 1 of 1985.
Okay, and so I'm going to shorten that because I'll get tongue-tied. Lehigh Valley CVB, Convention mm-hmm. and Visitors Bureau, traveled under that name for quite a period of time until you came back in mm-hmm. 2004.
Right.
We
changed our name in 2010, but when I came back, we knew that there were some changes that needed to be made, not because people had done it poorly in the past. It was just because the environment had changed substantially, and the environment in the valley had changed substantially. And so we looked at what can we do that will make us a little bit more modern, a little bit more effective, and a little bit more of a call to action. So we looked for a name that would be appropriate for that. And this was something that was also happening in our industry. And most of my counterparts went with Visit. You know, Visit Pittsburgh, Visit Erie, Visit Baltimore, you know, you name it, it was Visit. We wanted to go a different direction, and we chose Discover and Discover Lehigh Valley as our name. And because we wanted it to be a call to action, as Visit is, but we believe that Visits end. We believe that the discovery process doesn't end. And so we want people to keep coming back to discover more and more about Lehigh Valley. And that's why we went that direction.
Okay. Two things popped in my mind when you were talking about the history. Then you said the direction had changed. It seemed for a while that the CVB was looked at people outside of the Lehigh Valley to market to. And then the Discover sort of brought everybody sort of, whether you live here or you're outside the area, am I assessing that correctly?
Yes, you are. When you are in the tourism, in the destination marketing business, is what we call what we do, you really do need to promote locally. You can't just ignore your local folks, one, because it's your closest and nearby markets, but it's also they need to know what's going on. As I said, visiting friends and relatives is still the number one reason that people travel. They need something to do with their friends. They don't want them sitting around the house all day, all night. Right. They want to get them out and doing things or take them out and do things. And so the more they know about what's happening, the better they're able to entertain their friends and relatives when they come to town. And then they can spread that word to others that are coming into town as well. So it works well to market to both the locals and to those nearby regions.
Okay. And then the other challenge, I think, as you know, okay, so in 84 became Lehigh Valley. We're not on a map anywhere as Lehigh Valley.
Well, there is one place we're on a map.
Okay, all right. I stand corrected.
There's one place we're on the map, and this was a battle that was fought long and hard for many years, and that is that on the state tourism map, we're listed where Lehigh Valley is shown. We're no longer part of Philadelphia and the countryside. We're on a tourism region on our own, which was a huge benefit.
Yeah, I remember years ago getting so incensed that we were part of the greater Philadelphia area. I mean, I don't have anything against Philadelphia, but the Lehigh Valley has its own character and needed to stand alone. So what else do we need to do to get that Lehigh Valley out there? Because if I do LV, I get Las Vegas on the computer. Mm-hmm. I say, what do we need to do to bring up the recognition of the Lehigh Valley?
It's an ongoing education process, and it's not just out of the area; it's in the area as well. More people need to talk about Lehigh Valley and less talk about their own individual communities, because we are really—you can't really tell where Allentown and Bethlehem are separate.
Right.
I know where it is, and many other people do, but most people don't. And that's something that we really need to focus on, is our own citizens talking about Lehigh Valley. I think the other thing that is critical is that the media has been very beneficial. And when you look at the Philadelphia and New York media, even though they show Allentown on the map, often they say Lehigh Valley.
Do they?
So that's something that has been changing over time. And we just need to encourage that and hope that it continues to happen.
Well, and I guess the airport tried to, and now it's ABE Lehigh Valley, so they're sort of combining the two.
It's still Lehigh Valley International Airport, but their code is ABE.
I don't travel much, but it was funny when I would travel. I couldn't find Lehigh Valley. It was ABE, so unfortunately I remembered that. But listeners, we're going to take another short break, and we'll be back. You're in this studio with Mike Sturshakir, and I'm Sally Hanlon, and I am your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
For program support, we thank Lehigh Pizza, 13 West 3rd Street, Southside Bethlehem, offering pizza, gourmet pizza, hot and cold subs and sandwiches, beer to go, and more. For lunch and dinner, 7 days a week. Delivery is available. For full menu and delivery zones, lehighpizza.com or 610-866-1088.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Listeners, you're back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and with me in the studio is Mike Sturczyk, who's president of Discover Lehigh Valley. And I neglected to mention that I have Neil Heaver here. He's doing the boards for us tonight, and we were having a brief conversation about this Lehigh Valley name, and he shared something that I wasn't aware of about WDIY. So, Neil, why don't you share that with our listeners?
Oh, sure. The corporate name for WDIY is actually Lehigh Valley Community Broadcasters Association. And when we had our first incorporation meeting, this was at Muhlenberg College in January of 1984, that was the name that I had suggested that we adopt. And the reasoning behind it was there were other people early beginning to move to that identity for this area. And I thought, well, if we're going to be a volunteer organization, we're going to be recruiting people from Allentown and Bethlehem and Easton and other areas. There's no way we could call it the Allentown Broadcasting Club or something like that. And that made a lot of sense. And that's when I was first hearing, right after I went to school here, that's when I was first hearing this identity, this Lehigh Valley concept. And I thought it was a great idea. So that's our corporate name.
Oh, and that's great. I didn't realize that we were, I mean, I know we're progressive, but I didn't realize, because there's still a lot of agencies that haven't gotten on the bandwagon
right.
yet.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a very helpful thing, and I'm glad to hear you talk about the map, the tourism map, that mm-hmm. it's now described as Lehigh Valley region, because that irked me as well, being Philadelphia and what, the countryside?
Philadelphia and its countryside.
Well,
yeah.
There's, that was a little laughable, because there's a lot up here, and even more so now. So I'm glad to see that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Neil. I appreciate
sure.
adding that to us. When we talk about marketing Lehigh Valley, Discover Lehigh Valley, and you talked about one of the biggest impacts is sort of the technology changes in tourism. Social media and social media presence, it seems, if I recall correctly, there was an article when you took over in 2004, Mike, that said that you had some ideas about what we needed to do to update and move ahead, and you were talking about it then, and that was really early.
That was before Facebook and Twitter and some of the things that we use
yeah.
today were in place. But we knew that the impact of the computer was going to be significant in the way in which we marketed, and we also knew that electronic media of all sorts was going to be critical in the direction in which we moved. So that was really not much of a leap of faith. I think the thing that was encouraging to us was in, I believe it was 2006, things had just started to take place in social media, and not every destination around the country was involved in using social media. We had a blog, and we used it and tied it into email marketing, and we tied it into some other strategies that we used. And two of my staff went to a conference on social media marketing, and were blown away when the rankings that they did that year came out, and Lehigh Valley was ranked number one among 72 destinations around the country in its use of social media and marketing.
And you probably felt like you were just starting the...
And we thought, wow, how did this happen? But we were ahead of places like Philadelphia and Baltimore and Chicago and communities that
wow.
much larger than ours. They've stopped doing the rankings because now everybody's in, so they don't do it to the same extent, but... The bottom line is the social media is one of the things that has changed the way in which marketing is done, because it involves the user. And I think that's the key component here. The user likes to be involved, have a more direct tie to that which he's being marketed. And so we have 63,000 followers on Facebook.
Oh, my goodness. You don't have a computer drain?
No, we don't.
Oh, my goodness.
We have about, I think it's almost 12,000 followers to our Twitter feed. I could go into other more statistics, but I'll bore people with the numbers. We generate probably about 140,000 page views per month, and which is about a little over 2,500 unique users a month that look at our website.
That's incredible.
These are all very important things, and we have some rules about social media, about media use of this
right.
technology.
Right.
We have a blog that is one of the oldest continuously operating blogs in destination marketing. We make sure it's experience based. We don't write about anything that someone hasn't been to.
Okay, so you don't do a third party evaluation.
We will allow somebody else we do guest bloggers
okay.
who will come in and do it. But if it's people we know. But if it's not something that has been experienced, we don't write about it. So we make sure that if it's a multi-day event, we blog about it before early on so that people can get the benefit of that.
So I guess you don't have a typical 9-to-5 operation.
We don't. we really don't. And I'm fortunate to have a very passionate and dedicated staff that works on these things. We're like I said earlier, we're out on weekends on a regular basis, and I can take a photograph and email it to some of my staff, and it'll be either out on our Twitter feed or our Facebook page or somewhere else in our social media feed within an hour generally. So it's really a very gratifying thing.
That's incredible. I can't even get a text message right anymore. My fingers just don't seem to work. Okay, so if tourism has changed tremendously because of the digital, what's in your crystal ball for where you see it heading?
Well, I think what's going to change even more is that level of engagement. I think people right now want to craft their experience almost on a custom level. So I think you're going to be seeing in the future the ability to develop an itinerary or an experience that fits in both with the schedule of what's going on in the event in the area and what they are interested in. So they're going to be able to piece together the things that they want and be able to actually have that on their phone so that they can get the directions from place to place, have their reservations made, have their tickets bought, have all of the all the things that they need to have in place to do something all on their phone.
Okay, so what that means then is when they come into town, they just have the experience. They don't need to worry about contacting anybody or it's basically how to get from point A to point B to,
right.
to make their appointment or whatever.
Correct. And they will have already paid for it, or they will pay for it by their phone or some venue related to that. That's probably what's going to be coming in the long run. And they will also be able to provide immediate feedback, which is the more scary part of this.
Absolutely.
Because it means it raises the bar for what the people who are providing the services need to do in order to make that experience the best it can be for all the visitors.
So let's talk about the impacts. I have a store. I used to have a store. And somebody comes in. They don't wear a name tag that says I'm a tourist.
Right.
So everybody's on stage. Is that sort of it?
You're 100% correct. Visitors don't wear, we don't, there's no gates counting them when they come in.
We don't stamp them in the forehead.
We don't stamp them in the forehead. And you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And you should. People should ask, are you from around here, when they're serving people at a restaurant, for example, or going to buy something in downtown Bethlehem at a merchant. That's something that should be done, but they shouldn't treat visitors any differently than they treat locals. And everyone should have that positive experience. And it's all about customer service. And even if you have a bad experience as a local, you're going to tell people about that.
Yeah, but it's at least 20 people you
yes.
tell?
Yes, and if you put that on a review site, it's going to be even more. And I think the point is that we need to treat everybody well. Everyone
all
needs
guests.
To be treated well because we're all guests.
Yeah, all guests, all tourists. And that's a hard concept to get a lot of people to realize, because when you go to the same job or same position day in and day out, it becomes routine and you just sort of go into the motions. And it takes a very, thoughtful and energized management team to keep people focused.
It's one of the things that's unique about our industry. And many people downplay the importance of tourism jobs because they have tended to be lower paying. I think we have the largest range in pay of any career path, because you start at the low levels and you can work your way up without a whole lot of education to do that. But it's all about the experience, and people are in our industry are passionate about providing that experience. And give a couple of examples are if you think through what people do in our industry, they serve other people, they communicate with other people, they interact with other people. Those are specifically the type of skills that employers are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think back to all your listeners, think back to what your early jobs were as a high school student or as a college student. Think of how many people actually started in the hospitality industry.
Oh, yeah.
Surveys have shown that somewhere between 35% and 40% of high school and college students had their initial work experiences somewhere in the hospitality industry.
Interesting.
That gives them an excellent base to build their careers on, because they're always going to rely on that customer service aspect if they've learned well at the beginning.
But that puts an extra effort on the hospitality, because you're teaching youth how to work.
Yes, we are. And that's one of those things that I like to tell my economic development friends. If it's not for the hospitality industry, there wouldn't be a good cadre of workers locally. And secondly, if a company is looking to relocate to our community and they have a bad experience in their hotel or in their restaurant or at the bar, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
So it's we play a very important role in the scheme of things.
Very interesting. I hadn't really thought of it in that way, but I've had on the show Stu Schooley, who mm-hmm. has Dutch Springs, and he gets a lot of, I'm going to say first-time job youth, and spends a lot of time developing those youth as far as getting an understanding.
Yeah, and if you want to hear, one of the things that you talk about, hidden things people don't know about, locals don't know about, Dutch Springs is one of them.
Absolutely.
And I'll mention that only because I was somewhere else, and they asked me where I was from, and I told them, I said, oh, we go there for scuba. Between 35 and 40,000 people a year go to Dutch Springs for scuba lessons, certification, or re-education on an annual basis.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge number of people that are going out and seeing what's going on in the valley, and locals don't know that.
Oh, well, I know, experienced with me, too. I mean, we go up to New York State, and we have some friends up there, boating friends, and most of them are divers, and most of them have been to Dutch Springs, and yet there's how many people in Lehigh Valley that don't even know?
Right. That's correct.
It's a very interesting phenomenon. We're going to be wrapping up in a few minutes, but let's give website addresses and talk about the calendar again, because listeners, if you did hear Mike say about the number of followers they have and all that kind of stuff, if your event isn't on their calendar, shame on you.
Correct. So you can, if you are have any event in Lehigh Valley and you want to put it on our website, just go to uploadyourevent.com. It's all one word, no spaces, uploadyourevent.com. And it will appear on our website, which is discoverlehighvalley.com. Again, no spaces, all one word, with Discover Lehigh Valley.
Okay. And Facebook, Twitter, we can get from the website, from
That's
Discover
correct.
Lehigh.
You can link directly through there.
Link. And let's get those statistics again. How many Facebook?
We have about 63,000 followers on Facebook, and about 11,000 followers to our Twitter feed.
And views, you said? Website views?
Website views is about a monthly. It's about 140,000 page views and about 2,500 unique users a month.
Okay, so listeners, again, that calendar is very important for you to think about and get your event listed on there. And also, it really helps others to see, so maybe we don't have so many events stepping on each other.
Correct.
We're not going to avoid it based on the activity that I've been seeing, but give it a try.
And I want to mention that the calendar really was a project of Leadership Lehigh Valley a number of years ago. The Leadership Lehigh Valley class 3 years ago approached us to undertake this calendar in the form that it currently has. We had a calendar in the past, but it wasn't open to everybody. We limited who could be on it. And we, as a result of our work with leadership, they really pushed us to open it to everyone so that you can check to see if there's something else going on to make sure that you're not conflicting.
Yeah, well, I know for years as I was on committees for galas and all that kind of stuff, that was one of the most difficult things, was to try and figure out when you could have it so you wouldn't conflict with somebody else in the same audience. Okay, Mike, you've been in tourism a long time. You've been in economic development a long time. What have been the greatest challenges and greatest rewards?
I think the greatest challenges have been the politics of bringing the region together, and we continue to fight that on a regular basis, and it's something that I think it's diminishing, but there's still some jealousies across the valley, and it's something that we need to continue to work on.
And we have to be one in order to survive. I mean, if we've got Michigan spending their money and Texas coming up to a music fest to try and get people down there, we need to be together.
We need to think about the competition that we're facing.
Yeah.
And we're never going to be able to beat that competition unless we're unified. And that's the real challenge.
Okay. And rewards?
Rewards. I think just the experiences that I've been able to have in this job are incredible. I get to go to do things and see things that visitors get to see and do, and locals don't always get to see and do. And I think it's an opportunity for just to get out and have some fun while working at the same time.
Yeah, well, but that's got to be, I mean, because that's like 7 days a week. With what you're doing. And there's no seasonality anymore. It's all seasons, correct?
No longer. It's year-round now.
Yeah.
So you have a couple of downtimes around some holidays, but it doesn't really last long.
Okay. Listeners, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'd like you to put together a Lehigh Valley bucket list. I'd like you to go to Discover Lehigh Valley's website. Find those places that you have not been to or that you have not been aware of and put them on your list. And over the next year, and you know what, Mike? Let's do this again next year.
Okay.
Come back and maybe we'll have some of our listeners send us their bucket lists and where they've been, or we'll talk about that. But I just think it's so important that we're all educated about what the Lehigh Valley has to offer.
It's a very important, very critical aspect of what we do.
Yeah. So we're going to do it one more time. Lehigh Valley, discoverlehighvalley.com.
Discoverlehighvalley.com. is our main website, and if you want to upload an event, it's uploadyourevent.com.
Okay, and as a parting last comment to our listeners, Mike, what would you like to share with them or challenge them?
I just wish everyone would get out and enjoy what they have around them. We have such incredible history, such incredible arts and culture. Get out and enjoy it. It's right here in your own backyard.
Yeah, it won't take even a half a tank of gas for us.
Not even that.
Yeah, it's great. Listeners, thanks so much for being a part of Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening. WDIY appreciates your support, and I appreciate your listening. And on behalf of everyone here, for Mike and Neil and myself, have a great evening. And this is Sally Halen for Lehigh Valley Discourse.